My name is Nadine Sachko-Su. I was born and raised in Arcadia, California, and I've lived here ever since. Like, it's never left. I am a Nisei, but remember our conversation? That was kind of, yeah, my grandfather was actually born here in the States, but he did go back to Japan and marry, and had my dad in Japan. And Kumamoto. So, and then my dad came here and met my mom. So, I'm a Nisei-ish.
Right, somewhere between Nisei or depending on how you want to count it.
Nisei and a half. Right,
right. So let's get into sort of your background in cars. And so, how did you? I mean, what is sort of your earliest memory of being interested or fascinated with cars?
My dad was very into F1. He would read magazines on the toilet of F1 cars. Like, it'd be F1 magazines on the toilet. So then I'd be in the bathroom, and then I would read his magazines, and I'm like, oh, look at these cars. That's kind of cool. And, you know, put them away. And I think it was kind of always in the back of my mind. And then he would always watch F1, and I'd sit down and watch it with him. And it was just something that we would do. And then later I met a lot of people who were into cars, and I would go with them to the street races in Ontario. So this was much later, like probably when I was in ninth grade or something. And we would go to the street races, and I loved it. And there was a woman street racer named Kimbo, and she was one of the only females drag racing her Honda Civic. And she really inspired me, and I'm just like, oh gosh, that's so cool. Like, she doesn't always win, but she's out there giving it her all, and she's very brave. So I was like, oh, you know, one day I really want to do this. I want to be like her. And so I got my driver's license and immediately started fixing up my car and modifying it and going to Kinokuniya and buying option magazines, which is, they have like lots of cars from Japan that inspired me to fix up my 240. And I happen just by chance to get a 240 as the first car. Like, a cousin sold it to me for like $500. It was not my preference. I thought it was a terrible car. And then I opened up an Option 2 magazine from Kinokuniya, and it was like my car all over it. And I go, oh, I have like the best car for drifting. And I had no idea. So I was going to sell it and get a Honda, but I changed my mind, and I just stuck with the 240.
And what year was it?
1989. It's a is. I still have it.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Early 90s would have also been kind of the heyday of the import car scene.
Mm-hmm.
In LA.
Yes.
Imports.
Yes.
Things that were basically off the streets were more organized. You know, mm-hmm. And then eventually you would have the show-offs and other car shows and car meets. Were you involved in that part of the scene as well?
Yes, I would go to Battle of Imports, actually with my girlfriends. We would have fun there. And also Pomona, they would do drag racing, just practice, and I would go to that. And actually, that's where I had my first race, like where I took my own car, was the Pomona Raceway. And then I would go to Ken Miyoshi's import show-offs all the time. I love looking at all those cars.
Given that so much of the car scene, and our scene's plural, right? So many of the car scenes here, you know, are disproportionately predominantly men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you were treated differently as a woman entering to that space?
Yeah, I was definitely treated very different. When I approached sponsors, it was a very weird thing, because usually, like, a guy, you approach a sponsor and you give them their driving history and their qualifications and that's it. But then I was like thinking about how I looked, and then there's that fine line between being a model who wants to race and being a true race car driver. And I would get mixed up with that. People would get me mixed up with that, like, oh, she's just pretty. And it wasn't that. I never wanted to be a model, and I never wanted anyone to view me that. And I was constantly kind of fighting that, show me sexy. It's like, no, I'm a driver. I just want to drive. Let's leave it at that. So I had more of a battle, and then you're kind of more under the microscope because there's not that many of you. So then you become the spectacle. So then I'm criticized more than your average guy, because then everyone's watching you because you're the token few girls that are there that day. It was difficult, But also we had tons of support from our fellow drivers, the men who were driving with us. They saw me as who I was. Like, they knew I was Nadine and I was a driver, and they wanted to help me.
And so, sometime within this, you form your own drifting group.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I formed Drifting Pretty in 2003. I was so sick of not seeing any girls at the track. It was so frustrating. There was one girl at the track, Yoshie Shiyama, and me, and that was it. And it was just Nadine and Yoshie all the time. And I loved Yoshie, but I was like, come on, there has to be more girls. And so, and girls would always email me saying, oh, I love what you're doing. I wish I could only, but I can't, because they would give me excuses. So then that would happen. I think after like 100 emails from girls, I was like, I gotta do something. So then I emailed all the girls that were at least in the States, like in California, and I said, do you want to meet? Do you want to get together? I'm thinking of creating this maybe club or school to help teach, get the girls together, and we all help each other and we'll teach each other things and learn how to drift together. Maybe that'll be less scary. And so, yeah. So in December 2003, we all met at a park, 14 girls. And a couple of them were from San Francisco area. They even drove down. And we got together. Some had their cars already. Some came in their Hondas. And they all had one goal in mind, which was learning how to drift. So that was that historic day in December of 2003. So we became like a school. So we would meet every month. We would do classes. We would do tech days where we would learn how to do basic things like change oil, change our tires. Eventually we got more advanced. We were swapping. We weren't doing it all by ourselves, but we would be taught how to pull out a transmission, pull out an engine, do little mods like change out your suspension or your brakes. So we would do themed days like that to teach the girls and expose them to that. We would do field trips to shops that were building cars. And of course we would race I would race every month. Not everyone could, but like we would go to the track together and go race. And we would also go go-karting together to train, because I think it's a good foundation to know how to do wheel-to-wheel racing. We'd do autocross racing. We would do different kinds of racing besides drifting, because I feel like all of that is a good foundation to have to make you a better drift driver. So we were exposed to a lot of different types of racing. And eventually we built a team. Of our 14 members, there were four of us that wanted to go pro. So we formed Team Drifting Pretty, and I asked my sponsors to get on board and give us some tires and body kits and money, and we started competing together. And two of us made it into Formula Drift, the Pro Series, and I did do a season with Formula Drift in 2005, I think. So Team Drifting Pretty was short-lived because competitive racing is a very challenging sport, both on the budget and the mind. And so we didn't like the competitiveness of being a pro driver. It was a lot of pressure and a lot of consequences for not placing and not qualifying, and it was just too heavy on us. And we were, you know, drifting was about having fun. It wasn't about competing. So that was short-lived, Team Drifting Pretty. But Drifting Pretty, the organization itself, is still in operation today.
Okay.
But we kind of shifted our focus, and we more just do outreach through our podcast, the Drifting Pretty podcast, because we still want to touch people's lives, but I think we can touch a broader audience by talking about our experiences through Drifting Pretty, because all of us have since done so much with our lives, and we all have drifting to thank. I think that all our experiences gave us the confidence that we needed to take risks in life and draw outside the lines.